be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness or pain, no more parting over there, but forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face. Your hands if you're looking forward to that glorious day. Hallelujah. Stand with me today all over this house if you're willing and able, as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for the presence of the Almighty Spirit of the living God that we continually experience in this church. I'm thankful that three praisers is a gross underestimation. We got a lot of praisers in this church. We got a lot of worshipers in this church. Amen. And I'm thankful for every single one of you. Amen. And we love you all so much, and we're glad that you come, amen, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful today to have the opportunity to worship him in spirit and in truth. What a privilege it is, Brother Peter, to be able to come to the house of God, to lift up holy hands and magnify his name, sing praises to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Amen. I'm thankful today for the privilege that is before us. Amen. I'm so thankful for the dynamic services that we have been having, amen, in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I want that spirit of revival to continue. If you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me today to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter and the 10th verse. I want to share with you something that has been burning in my heart. Amen. I feel that the Lord has given me to share with this body today. Amen. How many want to hear from the Lord today? Amen. I want to hear from the Lord today. Amen. It's a little different kind of service. Amen. But I feel him today, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful that where I am, amen, he's going to show up with me. Amen. And where I lift up his name, he's going to inhabit the praise that I give him. Amen. And I'm thankful today to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Worshiping with God's people. Amen. We love you all and appreciate you so much. Turn with me today to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter and the 10th verse. Exodus 14 and 10. Amen. You can shout amen when you get there. Amen. If you don't have your Bibles today, if you don't have a Bible, we want you to see us before you leave here today. We want to make sure that you have a Bible. Amen. Because every home needs a Bible. Every individual needs a Bible. Exodus, the 14th chapter and the 10th verse. Exodus 14 and 10. Amen. The Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them." They were close. Well, not close, but they could see them coming after them after they had left Egypt. And the Bible says that they were sore afraid. How many ever been afraid? They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word? Is not this what we said unto you, Moses? Is this not what we told you while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." God help us if we ever get to the place we'd rather serve the devil than suffer with the Lord today. Hallelujah. They told Moses, they said, "Let us alone. We told you when we were in Egypt to just let us be, Moses, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today," watch this, "ye shall see them again no more forever." Watch what Moses tells them. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." The Lord's going to fight your battle for you. And then the Lord begins to speak directly to Moses. How many want the Lord to speak directly to you today? The Lord began, look, the children of Israel are murmuring and complaining and whining and crying. And Moses tells them, just stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And then the Lord begins to speak to Moses directly. And he says to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me, Moses? Why are you crying out to me right now?" You need to be speaking to the children of Israel, and you need to tell them to start marching towards the water. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Do I got any praisers here to help me? Come on. He tells Moses, he says, "Why are you crying out to me right now? You need to be talking to the children of Israel, and you need to tell them to just start walking by faith right now. They need to just start walking towards the water, Moses." And Moses begins to listen to the Lord, and he begins to speak to the children of Israel. And then the Lord tells Moses these words. He says, But thou, Moses, you lift up thy rod, and you stretch forth thine hand out over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea." Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, after Tuesday night, we understand what Moses must have felt when the Lord spoke to him and told him, "Take off thy shoes from off thy feet, because you're standing on holy ground." Last Sunday and last Tuesday night, the Lord gave us just a little glimpse of what he wants to do in these end times. I'm telling you, the Lord wants the church to have revival. The Lord wants to see the lost saved. The Lord wants to see people strengthened today. Listen, the prophet Joel saw the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost long before it ever came to pass. God, give us that kind of vision today. God, give us that kind of vision. Let us see your blessings when they are yet afar off, because we know that they're on their way. We know that they're coming our way. We know that all we got to do is stay the course, Lord, and your blessings are going to fall down upon us. The prophet saw the outpouring of the Spirit of God long before it ever came to pass. God, give us a glimpse of your glory that awaits us today. Church, I'm telling you, these kind of services will go with you into the battle. And they will strengthen you for the battle. Come on, you don't want to miss what God's doing in these last days. You don't want to miss what God's doing in these last days. I want to preach to you for a few moments today on what I feel in my spirit the Lord has given me for this body on this subject. What to do when your waters won't part. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. What to do when your waters won't part. Before you're seated today, let's pray. Lord, we lift up your name. Let your name be lifted high today. Let your anointing flow in this service. Let ears hear what you have to say to them today, Lord. We pray, oh God, that you bless your word. Bless those that are faithful to your house. Give to your kingdom. We pray, oh God, that you would let us hear from heaven today. Bless these next few moments in your presence. Let revival continue. Let your people be blessed. Let them be strengthened and encouraged. We magnify your name today. Your name is above every name. We give you glory and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let all the believers shout amen. Amen. God bless you today. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for a few moments today on this topic. What to do when your waters just won't part. The children of Israel had left the land of Egypt. The Lord had sent the prophet Moses to become their pastor and to speak into their lives that God wanted to relieve them from their bondage. The Lord had spoken. He had sent by the mouth of Moses the plagues that were going to come down upon the land of Egypt. And the Lord was making a way, even though, how many know, sometimes we don't see it, but God's making a way even when we don't see it. And here they are in bondage, and here they are under all this affliction and all this pain and all this suffering. But the Lord is doing a work, and he brings a stuttering man with a speech impediment named Moses, Brother Harold, to speak into an evil dictator and say, God said, let my people go. Amen. So Moses comes and he speaks to Pharaoh. You know the story. You know all the plagues. You've read your Bible. You've attended Sunday school. You know how that the Lord brought the plagues upon Egypt. And finally, on the last plague, the Pharaoh decides that he's going to just buckle down and realize that God's in control, Brother Joe, and he lets the children of Israel leave the land of Egypt. They come out of the land of Egypt. They're on their way, and they find out that Pharaoh had done changed his mind. How many know the devil might leave you alone for a minute, but he's going to change his mind, and he's coming for you again. Huh? And he changes his mind, and all of a sudden, now he's pursuing after the people that he just let go. And now he's pursuing the children of Israel, and they come to a dead end. They come to a place of the Red Sea. And here they come, and And now their back is against the wall, so to speak. There's a figurative wall there. There's no place for them to go. Amen. And now they're at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is following, pursuing close behind them. And here they are standing at the edge of the Red Sea. There's no ship, Brother Carl, for them to get into. There's no plane for them to board and to get up into the sky and to get away from Pharaoh's army. So all they have to do is begin to attack their leader. My God. How many know the last thing you want to do when your back is against the walls, begin to attack your leader. They began to turn on Moses, and they began to say to Moses, "What did we? Is this not the word that we spoke to you when we were in the land of Israel? Did we not tell you, Moses, just to leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians? But you wouldn't have it, and we followed you out of the land of Egypt, and now you got us out here in the wilderness. Was there not enough graves that we could all be buried in the land of Egypt? Did you really have to bring us out here, Moses, to die in the wilderness?" They had no planes to board. They had no ships to get into. So what do you do when your waters won't part? What do you do when your back's against the wall? What do you do when you've tried everything else, and Brother Timmy, and you don't know what else to do? What do you do, amen, when your waters just won't part? Many times we find ourselves in the same situation. You've prayed about it. You've fasted about it. You've sought God concerning it. You've called on the elders of the church and asked the elders to pray about it. You know what God has done for you before. You know that what God has done for others, He's able to do for you. You know that He holds all power both in heaven and in earth. You know that He raises kings up and He sets kings down. You know that He created everything and then He rested on the seventh day. You know that He hung the stars on high. Huh? You know that He speaks things into existence. He's the one that sits high and He looks low. But sometimes those waters, they just don't want to part. Sometimes those, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Those waters, they just don't want to part. So what do we do when the waters won't part? Do we throw in the towel? Do we go back to our old selves? Do we go back to our old misery? I propose that there's an alternative to that thinking. I propose that there's an alternative for you to go back to Egypt. You don't have to go back to Egypt. You don't have to die in the wilderness. You don't have to let the Red Sea be the end of your journey. I propose that the same God that brought you out of Egypt is able to take you all the way to Canaan today. I propose you don't have to hold up a white flag and say, "Devil, I surrender and I give you everything that God has given me. I give you my family. I give you my finances. I give you my..." Oh, you don't have to do that. The same God that brought you out of Egypt is able to take you into Canaan today. I propose an alternative thinking today. Come on, what are you going to do when the waters won't part? What are you going to do when you find yourself, you've come to the Red Sea and you don't know what to do next? Raise your hand unto the Lord if you ever been there and done that. Raise your hand if you ever come to a place in your walk with God, you didn't know what to do next. You didn't know how God was going to work it out. You didn't know how the Lord was going to deliver you. You didn't know how you was going to get out of the valley that you were in. Church, sometimes the waters just don't want to part. So what do? Throw in the towel? Nay. There's an alternative to that. I propose today that there's a different approach to difficult times. Come on, God was gracious enough to give us a measure of faith. God will be gracious enough to show us how to grow that faith. Come on, somebody. I propose that it's not the end of your journey. God doesn't want you to throw in the towel. God doesn't want you to abandon the ship today. No. Sometimes the waters have not parted because it's just not yet time for the waters to part. Can I get an amen today? Sometimes the waters have not parted because it's not God's timing for the waters to part. Well, I propose to you today that you cannot increase your faith without exercising your faith. And you ain't never going to exercise your faith unless you come to a Red Sea in your life. Until you ever come to a place where all hell is assailing you and you don't know what you're going to do. But the same God that delivered you out of the land of Egypt, the same God that brought you out of sin and bondage, the same God that delivered you from drugs and alcohol, depression and anxiety, he's going to open up that sea if you just continually be faithful to him. I propose there's an alternative to the thinking of the children of Israel. They began to murmur. They began to complain. But the fact of the matter was, God wanted them to come to that place, Brother Ken, where the Red Sea was at. God wanted them to see those Egyptians that were afar off that was coming very quickly. God wanted them to see those chariots and those horses and that mighty army that was coming to absolutely annihilate them. God wanted them to see it. Sister Vic, it wasn't time yet for the waters to part. Because God wanted them to see they could not make it without him. I propose to you today, sometimes God just wants you to understand you cannot make it without him. You cannot make it without him. Come on, you can't get across the Red Sea. You can't get into Canaan. You can't walk in his provision and his blessings without his help today. Without his help today. Sometimes the waters have not yet parted because it's just not time for the waters to part. Paul didn't accidentally one day just so happen to get a thorn in his flesh. Come on, Sister Lou. You've been going through some stuff. It ain't no accident. Come on, Paul. Paul didn't just one day wake up and say, oh, I got a thorn in my flesh. No, Paul said, I was given a thorn in my flesh. I was given a thorn in my flesh. And then he went on to say, I was given a thorn in my flesh to buffet me. That word buffet comes from an old Hebrew word, maltol. It means to drive or to attack or to move. So literally what Paul was saying was, I was given a thorn in my flesh to motivate me. My God, somebody hear this preacher today. Sometimes when you come and your back is against the wall and you've done everything you can do, God just wants you to understand he put some stuff in your life to motivate you so you would understand you can't make it without him today. Somebody ought to clap their hands and magnify the Lord with me right now. Somebody ought to stand to their feet and say, I don't want to try to make it without God. I understand I need him. I don't want another Red Sea in my life. I understand I'm nothing without him today. I'm nothing without him today. My God, he didn't accidentally get a thorn in his flesh. He was given a thorn in his flesh to buffet him, to force him, to motivate him, to drive him. Come on, Brother Bo preached a message not long ago, amen, about how we are motivated by, we are elevated by our enemies. Brother Bo preached. Get all excited. Gonna tell everybody, Jesus Christ is King. Preached a masterpiece Tuesday night. Brother Bobby Kilman preached a masterpiece last Sunday in this church. The Lord is moving. The Lord is arranging. The Lord is doing things in the spirit right now that we don't know, we don't see, and we don't even comprehend. I'm telling you today, there's coming an opening to the Red Sea. I'm telling you today, don't think your back's against the wall and you're all alone. You got a God that's fighting for you right now, and he's going to make a way where there seems not to be a way. Hallelujah. It's amazing because Paul prayed and he sought the Lord thrice, the Bible says, that the Lord would remove the thorn from him. How many ever prayed and said, Lord, you know I can't take this much longer. You got to help me with it. You got to get this out of my life, Lord. I can't do this much longer. You got to help me, Lord. Paul continually sought the Lord and he asked the Lord to remove the thorn from his life. But the Lord did not do that. The Lord did not remove, Sister Donna, the thorn from Paul's life. But you know what he did do? He spoke to him. He spoke to him and he said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for thee. My grace, Paul, is more than enough for you. And then he goes on to say, and he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Come on. Can I tell you today, Paul didn't get accidentally a thorn in the flesh. That thorn was placed there to motivate him. Paul needed that thorn in the flesh. And sometimes we need a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes we need motivation in our life. Sometimes we need a good storm to arise. Sometimes we need a circumstance that'll show us that only God can get us out of the situation that we find ourselves in. Paul needed that thorn in the flesh. It caused him to pray. It caused him to fight. It caused him to seek God. It caused him to have revival. It caused him to shake a serpent off in the fire. It caused him to fight his way through shipwreck. It caused him to keep writing from behind the bars of a prison cell. Paul needed the motivation of his thorn. Paul needed the motivation of his thorn. What do you do when your waters just won't part? Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep doing what you do. Come on, it caused Paul, that thorn in the flesh caused Paul to fight his way through that shipwreck. Shake that serpent off in the fire. Write all of those books of the New Testament from behind a jail cell. I tell you today, God knows what you need. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes it just ain't time yet for the waters to part. Because God knows exactly what we need. Can I tell you today that the flower beds, Brother Doug, the flower beds of easiness is not always what's best for you. The flower beds of easiness, everything all pretty and hunky-dory and everything's great, that ain't always what you need. Sometimes you need a Red Sea. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes it takes a troubled sea to get a hold of you. Sometimes it takes a good trial, a good tribulation. Sometimes it takes a good valley for you to realize just how good God is in your life. Ooh, that thorn in the flesh caused Paul. It motivated him. It pushed him. It attacked him. It drove him to a place that he had to trust God. Sometimes we need to be driven to the same place. A place where we don't have a choice but to trust God. God knows exactly what he's doing. And sometimes it just ain't time for your waters to part. Sometimes it takes a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes the Lord's got to move in unique ways to get a hold of us. Sometimes we got to go through some stuff before we can arrive at the conclusion that I'm staying. I'm staying with the Lord. I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying. Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm staying. Come on, sometimes you just got to go through some stuff where you can arrive at the conclusion that I'm staying right where I'm at. I'm going to believe God. I'm staying when times are good. I'm staying when times are bad. I'm staying when there's revival, and I'm staying, and I'm going to wait till the next revival comes when that one ends. I'm staying. Paul Thorn motivated him. Lord, I love what Peter said. Lord, where would I go? When he turned to Peter, Sister Gail, and he said, Peter, will you leave me also? And the Lord looks at Peter with the most sincerity, and he asks him, are you going to leave me? All these other disciples have left me. Are you going to leave me, Peter, also? And Peter looks at him and said, Lord, where would I go? You got the keys. You got the words to eternal life. Where would I go? Where would I go? Who would I turn to, Lord? I love what Peter said. You, Lord, and you only have the words to eternal life. Church, sometimes your waters won't part because of who you're following. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me. Sometimes your waters won't part because of who you're following, who you're giving voice in your life, who you're allowing influence in your life, who you're giving your time to in your life. Sometimes your waters won't part because of who is speaking into your life. My God, that's an uncomfortable saying. But it's the truth. You got Mr. Negativity, Mr. Gazoo sitting on your shoulder all the time talking to you about how bad the church is and how bad the worship team is and how bad your neighbor is. Don't expect your waters to part, honey, because it ain't gonna happen. You better open up your mouth and say, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I love my church. I love my God. I love my family. I love my health today. And God's been good to me. Don't bring that trash into my house. I don't want to hear that trash. No. Sometimes you're going to get at that Red Sea and your waters ain't going to part because of who you're allowing influence in your life. Come on. Oh me. Oh my. It don't matter. It's the truth anyway. You better get that negativity out of your life. Sometimes it's who you're listening to, who you're keeping company with, who you're allowing to have influence in your life. Listen, hear me today. When the children of Israel came to their second body of water at the river of Jordan, the Bible says that Moses had been disobedient unto God. And they come to the river Jordan. They had come from Egypt. They had come through the Red Sea. They had come through the wilderness. They come all the way to the entrance of their promise. Right there, we can see it. On the other side, Joshua's already sent spies. We can see it. We can see the blessing. We can see the provision. We can see what God has given us, what God has prepared for us. We can see it, but we cannot obtain it. Let me tell you something. Mr. Negativity will keep you from obtaining your promise. Oh, yeah. He will. He'll keep you from obtaining your promise. When the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, the waters would not part because the person who was speaking into their life was disobedient unto God. The Lord told Moses, Brother Mike, he told him, he said, you're not going to take the children of Israel into Canaan. You disobeyed me. You're not going with them. You're not ever going to see Canaan. Can I tell you, disobedience will keep you from your promise. And allowing disobedient people to speak into your life will keep you from your promise. Amen. And here the children of Israel come to the river Jordan, but they cannot go in because the man who is speaking into their life was disobedient unto God. So the Lord tells Moses, you're not going in. Joshua is going to take my people into the promised land because you did not obey what I told you to do. Church, be careful who you allow to have influence in your life, because listening to the voice of disobedience will keep your waters from parting. What do you do when your waters just won't part? Get rid of disobedience. Come on, get rid of disobedience. Don't be hanging around with all the negativity. Sometimes your waters just won't part because of who you got speaking into your life. Sometimes your waters won't part because you listen to your flesh. Oh, he's getting personal. That preacher's getting personal. That preacher's meddling. Sometimes your flesh will keep you from your promise. Sometimes you listen to your flesh, and sometimes your flesh will keep your waters from parting. Listen to me today. I have flown in enough airplanes in my life to know that there's only one way out of the storm, and that's up. Brother Ken, have you ever been in a plane with me whenever we got in a storm and we started rocking and we did a nosedive? No, sir. No, sir. There's only one way out of the storm, and that's up. And that's up. Let me tell you something. It ain't the Lord telling you that nobody loves you. It ain't the Lord telling you that you don't fit in. It ain't the Lord telling you you're never going to be like the rest of them. It ain't the Lord telling you you're never going to be an overcomer. It ain't the Lord telling you to move to the back of the church. It ain't the Lord telling you not to be faithful to his house today. It's your flesh. It's your flesh, and your flesh will keep you from getting your waters parted. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Your flesh will keep you from your waters parting. Man, them children of Israel stood there at that Red Sea. God had done brought them so far. My God, he caused water to come out of a rock. He caused quail and manna to fall from heaven. Come on, he had destroyed enemy after enemy after enemy. And still, what did they do when they come to that Red Sea? They began to attack Moses. They began to murmur and they began to complain. They began to see how everything is wrong. Was there not enough graves in Egypt? Could not have we just stayed there in our bondage, our affliction? Why didn't you just leave us alone? Come on, at least there we were comfortable. How many children of God never made it to Canaan because they wanted to be comfortable? Can I tell this church today, you will never murmur and complain your waters to parting. You will never complain your waters into parting, but you can praise your waters into parting. You can praise your waters into parting. Come on, when you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, you watch and see. You begin to invoke the name of Jesus. You begin to head to the water with faith. And you say, I'm going to put one foot in front. I know that water's not parted yet, but I'm walking in faith. It's going to part. I'm going to speak to it. It's going to part. And I start walking towards my water and my Red Sea because I'm doing it by faith. And I know that God is going to part my waters. My God, you can murmur and complain your waters apart, but you can praise them apart. You can praise them apart. Brother Chris, I applaud you, sir. You got out of that sea a while ago and you walked right up here all by yourself. Wasn't nobody around you. Wasn't nobody worshiping and praising God with you. But you came and you did it on your own. That's the kind of mindset we better have today. We're going to praise till our waters part. We're not going to murmur and complain. We're going to praise till our waters part. Hallelujah. My God. When the children of Israel stood there before the Jordan River, man, there ain't nothing worse than being able to see your promise and not obtain it. You talking about torture. You talking about misery, to be able to see it, to know it's right there in front of you, but you can't have it. Listening to your flesh will torture you. It'll torture you. Come on, it'll cause you to be able to see the promise and not obtain it. Be careful, church, listening to your flesh. I've flown in enough planes to know that the only way out of the storm is up. My God. The only way out of the storm is up. So what do we do when the waters won't part? Well, you ain't going to murmur and complain those waters apart. So you might as well try praising till those waters part. What do you do when the waters won't part? You keep on walking. What do you do when the waters won't part? You keep on praying. What do you do when the waters won't part? You keep on going to church, even when you don't feel like it. What do you do when the waters don't part? You keep on teaching home Bible studies and discipling God's people. You keep on dancing. You keep on worshiping. You keep on praising. You keep on opening your mouth and shouting hallelujah. That's what you do when your waters won't part. We cannot forget, church, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you wherever you go. Even when you're facing the biggest storm at the biggest sea in your life, your God is right there with you. If the waters have not parted yet, be confident they're going to part. But you got to do your part. You got to stop that murmuring, stop that complaining, and start that praising. Come on. You got to start that praising. Hallelujah. God, we cannot forget Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand of the Lord. We can't forget these promises that God has given us today. We cannot forget Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous, the Lord said. Do not fear. Be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you and he will not forsake you. Can I tell this body today that when it comes to your sorrow, when it comes to your Red Sea, you cannot trust what you feel. You can only trust what you know. And if you know God to be a deliverer, if you know God to be a healer, if you've watched him do it for everybody else but you, you cannot trust what you feel in that moment. You only can trust what you know to be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. You got to trust what you know when it comes to those sorrowful times. You find yourself in the midst of the desert. You're standing at the Red Sea and the waters just won't part. You got to rely on what you know. What do? When your waters won't part, you do what Moses did. You don't do what the children of Israel did. You don't start murmuring and complaining. God, you brought us here to die in the wilderness. Come on, somebody. I came to tell you today, God didn't bring you this far to let you go now. God didn't deliver you from all the stuff he delivered you from to watch you fail now. If you fail, it's going to be on your own behalf. God did not fail you. God did not leave you. And God did not forsake you. What do? When the waters won't part, you do what Moses did. Now, what the children of Israel did, you can't complain them waters into parting. You got to praise them into parting. Children of Israel told him, hear me today. The children of Israel told Moses, they said, Moses, you see that afar off? I can envision Moses standing there. The children of Israel said, you know what that is, Moses? That's Pharaoh. That's Egypt's mighty army. You see all those chariots, Moses? You see all of that, Moses? You brought us out here to die in this wilderness, Moses. I can see the children of Israel looking afar off and seeing the Pharaoh and his army pursuing them and coming after them. They're coming for us, Moses. You brought us out here to die in this wilderness, Moses. But Moses, being the man of God that he was, man, he stood and he squared his shoulders. And he looked at millions of people, one man against millions of people. He squared his shoulders and he said, "You see what's over there afar off?" And he said, "Yeah, we see what's over there afar off. It's Pharaoh and all of his army." And he said, "Yeah, you see that army? As of today, you're never going to see that army again. You can write it down. My God, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Children, I come to tell you today, God has not failed you. He has not failed you, and he will not fail you. He said, "Those Egyptians that you see afar off today," somebody say today, today, today. He said, "Today, you're not ever going to see them again." Yeah, yeah. Right now they're pursuing us. Yeah, right now we're outnumbered. Yeah, right now we're up against the Red Sea. Yeah, right now we don't have a plane to get in. Right now we don't have a boat to get in. But let me tell you something. Right now I'm telling you that the Lord said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Huh. My God. You brought us out here to die in this wilderness, Moses. Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now watch this. Immediately, Brother Bry, the Lord tells Moses, he said, "Why are you crying out to me right now? You've already asked me. You don't have to keep on asking me. Why are you crying out to me right now? You ought to be speaking to the people that you're leading." And he told Moses, he said, "You tell the children of Israel to start walking towards the water." Can I tell you, nobody ever moved the hand of God without faith. And you ain't going to be the first. Nobody ever moved the hand of God without faith. And Moses looks at the children of Israel and he said, "Just start walking to the water." I can hear the murmuring and complaining on steroids. "We just told you, is this not the words that we spoke to you while we were in Egypt? You brought us out here because there wasn't enough graves to bury us in Egypt." He said, "Keep your mouth shut and just start walking. Just start walking by faith. Just start walking towards that water. You don't understand what God's about to do." And then the Lord told Moses, after he spoke to the lives of the children of Israel, he said, "Now, Moses, I want to talk to you for a minute." And you know what he said to him? That's what he said to him. He said, "Moses, I want you to lift up thy rod." When the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, "Lift up thy rod," that word rod in the book of Exodus means, in the Hebrew word that it derives from, the branch. Oh my God. So what the Lord was saying to Moses was, "Lift me up, Moses. Lift me up, Moses. Stretch me out over the water, Moses. Touch the water, Moses." What we better do when we come to the Red Sea and our water just won't part, we need to start lifting up the name of Jesus. He's still the branch. He's still the rod. He's still the one that parts the waters. You can't complain enough for him to part, but you can praise your way to them parting. Invoke him in your situation and watch and see if some don't change. The Lord told Moses, he said, "Lift up thy rod," or "lift up thy branch." Lift me up, Moses. Lift up the name of the Lord, Moses. I'm convinced that Moses was having himself a time. And when he did it, the Lord caused an east wind to blow, and the waters began to part. And all of a sudden, that terrible situation that the children of Israel found themselves in, "We got no place to go. We don't know what else to do. Pharaoh's army's coming fast. We're outnumbered. This situation don't look good." But all of a sudden, the tides have turned. And the Lord calls an east wind to blow back that water. And Moses said,
I told you to stand still and watch the salvation of God. Go on ahead and start walking across that dry land. Come on, honey, let me tell you something. They didn't even get mud on their feet. God's good enough that when he steps into your situation and rolls back the water, he'll even dry up the dirt. They didn't even get mud on their feet. The Bible says they walked across on dry land. How good is our God today? How good is our God today? Come on, how many know the devil will want nothing more than for you to throw in the towel because you feel you're at your Red Sea? But you better hear this preacher today. I brought an alternative thinking, and I come to tell you that it ain't over until God says it's over. And I come to tell you today, if you'll just start marching by faith, if you'll just start listening to the voice of God in your life, if you'll just start lifting him up, if you'll just start stretching him forth, if you'll just start invoking him, his name in your situations. What do you do? What do you do when the waters just won't part? You walk towards the waters in faith. That's what you do. You walk right towards them waters and say, I'm coming, and you are parting. You walk towards the waters in faith. Your praise has the power, church, to part some waters today. Your faith in God has the power to part some waters today. Your praise has the power to get you through what you're going through today. What do you do when your waters won't part? You don't stop praising. You start praising. You are too serious. Stand with me as the musicians come. What do you do when the waters just don't want to part? You hold on to faith. You actively seek God's plan for your life. You remain courageous, like the Lord said over and over and over again. Be thou courageous and strong. Be thou strong and courageous. You walk by faith and not by sight. You stay strong in the midst of difficulty. And you understand that God's timing may not always align with your expectations. God's timing may not always align with your expectations. But don't be deceived. God's plan is for your waters to part. If his word says yes, he will never say no. If he tells you the waters are going to part, guess what's going to happen? The waters are going to part. But you got to do your part. Murmuring and complaining ain't going to get it done. Praising, faith, living for God with everything that's within you, that's what's going to get it done. So in these moments, we don't understand. We think about how God parted the water for Moses and for Joshua. In those moments, we feel our backs up against a wall. In those moments, we feel like we have prayed to the point of exhaustion. Raise your hand if you ever prayed for something so long, you just began to wonder if it was ever going to come to pass. In those moments, you feel like your back's against the wall. You're running for your life. Let me tell you, that's what the children of Israel were doing. They were running, Brother Jacob, for their life. Pharaoh's army was coming quickly. And let me tell you something. An idle mind, an idle soul, the devil will devour. You don't have time to stop. You got to keep walking by faith. You got to keep putting one foot out in front of the other. You got to look at that thing that stands before you and you say, I might not see you moving yet, but I'm on my way in faith. You are going to move. You are going to move. So what do? When the waters just won't part, you do what Moses did. You lift up the name of Jesus. You stay faithful to God. You keep on praising. You keep on making yourself to an altar of prayer. You keep on coming to pre-service prayer. You keep on attending prayer meetings. You keep on having fellowship with the body of Christ. You surround yourself with people that are speaking life into you instead of people that are speaking death and negativity in you. That's what you do when your waters won't part. What do you do when your waters won't part? You stop listening to your flesh. Because as long as you're in that flesh, them waters ain't never going to part. They're never going to part. We keep serving God. We keep living for God. We keep praying to God. We keep searching for God. We keep lifting up holy hands and letting lips sing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We surround ourselves with people of like precious faith. It's in these moments. We don't know how God's going to work it out. Our back's against this figurative wall at the Red Sea. We look how the God parted the water for Moses, how the God parted the water for Joshua. But one thing we don't look at is what the Lord did for Noah and what the Lord did for Paul. He sent a thorn in Paul's flesh to motivate him, to drive him, to push him forward. What we don't realize is what God did for Paul. What we don't realize is what God did for Noah. Yeah, he parted the waters for Moses and for Joshua. But he filled the sea for Noah. He brought a great storm for Noah. The Lord could have held back the rain. He could have caused the precipitation to not come up from out of the earth. The Lord could have stopped all of that, but that's not what Noah needed for the saving of his house. What Noah needed for the saving of his house was the greatest storm he has ever seen and mankind has ever seen. What Noah needed for the saving of his house was for him to obey the voice of God when the Lord said, build a boat and make it this big. The Lord didn't stop the water. The Lord didn't remove the thorn. I come to tell you today, what do we do when those waters just, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. What do we do when those waters just won't part? We keep doing what we've always done. We be faithful to God. We trust God. We keep on praying. We keep on praising. We keep on seeking Him. We keep on loving Him. We keep on loving His people. We be faithful to His house. We do what we know to do, not what we feel to do. We do what we know to do. God sustained Noah while the world around him fell apart in the midst of the greatest storm humanity has ever known. God sustained his people. Don't tell me your God can't save you in your storm. Don't tell me God can't be a boat. Don't tell me God can't be a fence. Can sustain you today in the midst of the greatest storm you have ever seen. His protection, His provision. The Lord told Paul, He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. These altars are open. As we sing this closing song unto the Lord today, what do you do when your waters just won't part? You don't do what you feel. You do what you know to do. And that's stay faithful to God. Would you come as we sing this closing song unto